Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
Jumping right in, Isaiah 43:19, the ESV version. The Word of God says, "Remember not the former things." Anybody ever had a trouble shaking a thought from the past? How about this? Anybody ever had an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend? Come on. Now we're keeping it real. It says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing." Anybody ever ask God for something new? Let that be a part of your prayer life. God, do something new. Do something new today. Do something new tomorrow. Do something new this year. Do something new in my marriage. Do something new in my kids' life. Because God is creator, and so he's always creating. God would rather create than recreate. We'll get into that a little bit more, but may that always be a part of your prayer life. God, do something new in my life, in my family, in my friends, in my workplace, in my finances. God, do something new. It says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I'm going to minister a message tonight titled "Level Up." Level up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for yet another opportunity that we get to be here tonight, Lord God. I thank you for these people, Lord, because they could have been anywhere tonight, God, but they are here to receive from you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would minister tonight, God, that it wouldn't be the words of a man, but it would be the words of your Spirit ministering, splitting between bone and marrow here this evening, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Well, hey, why don't you turn to the person next to you and let them know it's time to level up, and you can maybe be seated as we continue here tonight. Well, as I mentioned, my wife and I, we just had our third boy, praise God. Never thought two boys was a lot of work. Three boys is definitely a lot more work. Now you're outnumbered, you don't got a third hand, have a leg, but it wouldn't look good if you trip your kid in public. So it's definitely a lot more work. We definitely get our exercise in without paying a gym membership fee. But kids, as well as adults, we can all be creatures of habit. I think we can all agree that we have certain habits that we tend to move towards, we tend to gravitate towards subconsciously. Like most of you tonight are sitting in the same exact row you sat in on Sunday and the same exact row you sat in last Wednesday. Some of you waited in line 30 minutes before service before anybody else was here just to make sure you got your same exact seat. And the truth is we're creatures of habit. My 3.5-year-old son is also a creature of habit. It's a habit that we are trying to get him rid of. We call it a kiki. This is the only object, I think, on planet Earth that every family has a different name for. So you have a kiki, you have a pacifier, you have a choopy, you name it. Everybody's got a different name for it. Doesn't matter what language you speak, you definitely have a different name for a pacifier. Well, my son, we took it away from him about a year ago, maybe a little over, a year and a half ago. But my son is a creature of habit. And so what my son Uriah does is when we're watching TV in the living room and his brothers are sleeping and he's watching TV in his room, he will sneak into his brother's crib and snatch his pacifier as he sleeps and then go and hide under his covers and make sure to make little to no noise so that mom and dad are not aware of it. And the truth is when he has this pacifier, he's finding comfort. And usually he'll end up shutting a door because he's trying to hide. And then we know, okay, the door closed. He's got a pacifier. And then we go. And of course, as you walk in. I don't have nothing. I didn't even ask you nothing yet. You're already telling me you have nothing. Dead giveaway. He's 3 and a half. Hopefully he doesn't catch on soon. But we're all creatures of habit. We have our favorite seat. We have our favorite places to eat. We have our favorite mall, our favorite movie theaters to go to, our favorite places to eat breakfast, our favorite cities. The fact is that as humans, we tend to gravitate towards what's familiar, because what's familiar, for some reason, gives us a false sense of comfort or safety. It gives us a false sense of comfort or safety. You see, familiarity, when we are familiar with something, we think we know how it works. Like, we think like, well, as long as I'm in this place at this time, I don't have to worry about a car accident. You know, like, and I get it. There's a lot of people that drink and drive on New Year's Eve. But we have this subconscious anxiety about ourselves that as long as I'm home before 12 on New Year's Eve, I'm not going to get in a car accident. The reality is you could get in a car accident any time of the day, on any day of the year. But again, because we grow familiar with the fear of there's people that are drinking and driving, then we think that if we're at home, we're not going to get into a car accident. Or we think vice versa, if we're on the streets, we're going to get into a car accident. My wife does not think that way at all, I promise. You see, but we think that if, when it comes to things we're familiar with, we think we know exactly how it works every single time. Like some of the ladies, you already know, like, well, he's going to end up taking you there, and then he's going to give you false hope, and then it's just not going to work out, so don't even go there. He's just not ready for you. And we grow familiar with this train of thought, but really what it does is this familiarity ends up holding us captive. It ends up keeping our thought process, it ends up keeping us in a box to where we no longer experience anything that is new. But we want God to do a new thing. Tell somebody you want God to do a new thing. You see, the reason we end up staying in a bad thing or a bad situation too long is because we're scared of change and because we find comfort in familiarity. You see, the reason why that relationship hasn't been broken off or you haven't left that job that God's been pushing you to get out of is because it's familiar, and when you're familiar with it, now you have comfort and now you have safety. Well, God, if I make a change, then where's my income gonna come from? And God says, well, that's the exact thing that I'm trying to lead you to, but if you won't trust me and allow and step into something that is new, then you'll always be stuck with what you're familiar with. You see, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to a people that is not in a place of promise. They're not in a place of blessing. They're actually in what is their punishment. They're in Babylon, and Isaiah is letting the people know that if you would trust God, this land would not be your safety. This land would not be your comfort. You see, because the people of Israel, God had called them out of Egypt a long time before that. He had taken them to their place of blessing. They were in the promised land. But because they grew familiar with God, because they grew familiar with the land, and they began to get into partnerships and relationships and things that didn't honor God, but rather dishonored God, God said, that's it. I got to take you out of the land, put you in captivity. Babylon will be your ruler, and the land will be no more. And you would think that that would be a wake-up call for Israel. But then Israel became familiar with Babylon. And they, oh man, it's not too bad in this place, actually. You know, we kids growing up here, it's not the promised land, but I mean, could be worse. I guess we could be dead. And they had grown a familiarity with the land. They had grown a familiarity with captivity. They grew a familiarity with being somebody they were never intended to be. You know, I found myself in that same place when I was about 18, 19, my early 20s, 20, 21, where I had grown up and I had known the ways of God. I had been introduced to God and I went to church on Sundays. And it started out with me just kind of going out with my friends and hanging out and, you know, wanting to try something new and wanting to change the scenery. And slowly but surely, I became familiar with being absent from the house of God. And it was only a matter of time before I was no longer found in the house of God at all. And I remember my dad would call me every Sunday and I would text him back. But then as time went on, I would just stop answering and I would stop texting. And next thing you know, I became familiar being in a foreign territory. I became familiar being somebody I was never intended to be. I grew familiar living for something that was never going to bless me or help me be the person that God had intended me to be. And that's where Israel found themselves. They found themselves outside of the will of God, outside of their promised land, but familiar, comfortable, safe. See, because Babylon was the foremost power of that time. So there was nobody that was going to overthrow Babylon. And so again, subconsciously, the people of Israel figured, hey, we're safe here. Why go back to the promised land where now we become vulnerable? Where now we have to fend for ourselves. Where now we have to rebuild again because the temple is gone and we're gonna have to rebuild that temple. We're gonna have to resettle in the land. We're gonna have to build our crops back up. So rather than putting in all that hard work, why don't we just continue to be the Babylonian slaves? And the truth is if we allow familiarity to settle into our hearts and into our spirits, then we will never be successful when it comes to change. And if we can't handle change, then we'll never see God do a new thing in our life. We'll never see God do a new thing in our life because we will always cling to what is familiar inside of us. You see, God wanted to take Israel to new levels and do a new thing, but it would require Israel to kill their familiarity, to put behind them what they had grown comfortable with. If we're going to experience the new, we have to level up. If we're going to see God take us to a new level and see new things, then number one, we have to avoid familiarity at all costs. We have to avoid familiarity at all costs. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. The new thing that God wants to do in our lives, the new level that he wants to take us to as a church, the new level he wants to take your family to, the new level he wants to take your marriage to is a level that you've never seen before. It's a place you've never seen. It's a love you've never felt. It's a forgiveness you've never experienced. But you'll never experience that love. You'll never experience that forgiveness. You'll never experience that blessing if we continue to cling back to the ways that are familiar. You'll never see that breakthrough in your marriage if you continue to grow familiar with that couch. You'll never see breakthrough in your children if you continue to grow familiar with ignoring them. You'll never see breakthrough in your finances if you continue to ignore God and become familiar with withholding your tithe. You see, God is not into replicas. God doesn't want to recreate something that's already been done. You see, God is the creator. And so God doesn't want to take something that you've experienced in your past and create it again. God wants to create a new thing in your life. God wants to create a new story. He's not a fan of Al Bundy. He's not a fan of talking about the past and talking about the good old times from last year and 5 years ago and from when you first got saved and when you first got married and when you first had kids. But now that honeymoon stage is kind of worn off and now you're just like, maybe one day we'll get back to that place. God doesn't want you to get back to that place. He wants you to step in to a new thing, into a new level. Talk to somebody, let them know that God wants them to step into a new level. You see, familiarity will hold you captive to what you already have. Familiarity will hold you captive to what you already have. Familiarity, most importantly, will put a box around God. It's not that God can't do it, but it's that we won't have the faith or belief that he could do something that's outside of the realm of our thinking. That's outside of the realm of our imagination. And what we'll do is we will put this imaginary box around God where we paralyze him from taking us to a new level. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 53, it says, "And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming into his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son?'" You see, Jesus had been preaching in the synagogues and he had gone to his hometown. And so people recognized him. But when he spoke, they couldn't imagine how a young boy that grew up in their town became this teacher with such authority, became this teacher that was so knowledgeable and had such wisdom and insight into the scriptures. You see, they saw this young boy that had grown up in their town, but they couldn't perceive that he was the Savior. They couldn't perceive that he was the Son of God. And so what they did is they put a box around this young boy from Nazareth and they said, "You're just a carpenter's son." You see, sometimes you don't have to act to be dishonorable. Sometimes you just have to withhold honor to be dishonorable. And the people were withholding honor from the Son of God. And because they withheld honor, look what the scriptures tell us. It says, "Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon? And are not all his sisters with us? When did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." When we put a box around God, we dishonor him. We say, "God, we know that you're creator of earth. You're the giver of life. You're our savior. You're our king. But I don't really think you could change the situation here. I don't really think you can move in my life. I don't really think that you can revive my marriage. I don't really think you can bring my kids back home. I don't really think that you can get me out of this debt that I found myself in." God says, "Really? The creator of life, the creator of the air that you breathe, the stars that you see at night, except in LA because there's smog. I'm not able." And when we have this box around God, we can't expect a mighty work. You see, my wife is from the city of La Mirada. And if you've met anybody from the city of La Mirada, La Miradians love La Mirada. I crack up every time because my wife's family lives in La Mirada. Anytime you talk to them or you see somebody at the baseball field La Mirada, they're like, "I don't ever want to leave this place. It's great. Even if I move, I just want to move like two blocks over. There's a house on the corner. I can't wait to move to La Mirada. Don't you already live in La Mirada?" "Yeah, but I don't want to leave." And how many of us in our spiritual walk, we're like, "God, this is great. This is great. I love coming to church. I love coming on Wednesdays and I love coming on Sundays. But God, don't ask me to do much more than that. Don't ask me to step out of a comfort zone. Don't ask me to volunteer. God, I got this seat. I warm it for the next person that comes to second service. You really want me to give that seat up, God? God, you really want me to tithe? But then how am I gonna?" God says, "If you're going to see the new level, if you're going to see the new thing, then you have to be willing to venture out of your comfort zone. You gotta be willing to go out and cross territories and say, God, I'm not gonna be one of those that don't believe. God, I'm gonna honor you. I'm gonna believe you to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ask, think, or imagine. I'm gonna believe that you are the creator of all and that you can create and that you can create a new level. You can create new things in my life. When we place parameters around God, what we will allow God to, when we place parameters around what we will allow God to do in our lives, we cut off the very breath of God into our lives. Because he is either God of everything or nothing. He is either God of everything or nothing. If we're gonna see new levels and we're gonna see new things, point number two, we must grow our discipline. We must grow our discipline. I'm sure you've all heard it by now. It's 2018, and it's funny because as I've gotten older, you see how it goes, like, New Year's resolutions. But now that I'm like 30, most of the things that I see on social media is, it's not about your New Year's resolution, it's about your New Year's choice. And so it's grown from like setting goals to now like changing your personal habits, but it's true. If we're gonna go to a new level, if we're gonna see new things in our lives, it's not so much about the goals that we set for ourselves, but it's about the new habits that we are going to create for ourselves. If we're gonna reach new levels, we're gonna reach new things. If we're gonna lose weight, then we're gonna have to change our eating habits. We're gonna have to plan ahead. If we're gonna change our spending habits, we're gonna have to plan ahead. We're gonna have to budget it out. We're gonna have to see, okay, God, how much can I spend during this week? How much can I spend during this time? What do I have? We're gonna have to forecast. We're gonna have to change our habits when it comes to spending money. Familiarity can only be avoided when we have a discipline within ourselves that refuses to let ourselves fail. Discipline is what is the accountability that we need personally that says, I'm not going to continue in the former ways. I love what the New Living Translation says, Isaiah 43:19. It says, but forget all that. Okay, forget everything that you used to do. Forget all the things that I did that one time back, way back when. Focus on what I am doing now. He says, do you not perceive it? Can you not see that I am here and I am now? I am not just the God of yesteryears, but I am the God of today and tomorrow and forever. I always will be, and I am here, and I am creating something new in your life, but you'll never perceive the new thing if you try to come into this new thing with old habits. Now, as much as personal discipline and the practical are necessary, even more so is the discipline we put into our spirituality. You see, spiritual disciplines will actually breed and breathe on your practical disciplines. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Somebody say every way. As it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. What is spiritual discipline? Spiritual discipline is your prayer life. What does that look like? Do we pray on a regular basis? Are we putting God first in our prayer life? Spiritual discipline looks like reading our Bibles on a daily basis. It looks like fasting. Do we fast on a regular basis? Are we hungering for God? Because the Bible tells in Matthew 5 that those who hunger for God will be considered righteous. They will be filled. And when we hunger, when we have a hunger for God, what we do is we grow our intimacy with God. Spiritual discipline grows our intimacy with God. What does that mean? That means that God, that we begin to see, we begin to think, we begin to speak the way God does. Not the way our flesh does, but the transformation of our heart goes to a new level. We begin to see things different. We begin to see that new thing that God is doing in our life. It helps that the intimacy that we have with God will be seen in our actions. But the intimacy is always seen when nobody else is looking. When our spiritual discipline grows, it allows us to dream beyond what's before our eyes. When we have intimacy with God, we don't just see what's before us, but we see what God is doing through it. We don't just see the present situation, but we see what God is lining up past the present situation. When we embrace intimacy with God, we see new levels and we see new things. When you have intimacy with God, you don't just see your husband as he is now. You see him as God sees him. When you have intimacy with God, you don't see your children the way that they're acting now, but you see them the way that God created them and what the things that God has intended for their lives. And when you begin to see your family the way God sees them, you'll begin to treat them the way that God would want you to treat them. The truth is we can't break some of these bad relationships because we're seeing them through the flesh. We're seeing them through as they are, the as is version. It's kind of like when you see the ad of that cheeseburger on TV, but then you see it in real life and you're like, okay, this didn't look like the promo. Well, the promo is the way God intended it to be. What you saw in your hand is like, microwave? Cool. God doesn't want you to see the microwave version of your family. God wants you to see your family, your friends, your workplace as he intends that place to be. My workplace, we're talking about my coworkers. Yeah, God actually wants you to share what he's doing with your coworkers. That transformation that's in your life, little do you know that the person in the cubicle next to you sitting at the desk across from you, they're desperate for that transformation as well. They're just waiting for somebody to say, hey, Can I share something with you? Let me share what God's doing in my life right now. Let me invite you to this place called Freedom House that I go to twice a week. It's awesome. I go to connect groups. I've been through Growth Track. I even serve there. You serve? You do what? And watch how God begins to transform that workplace for his glory. But that comes through our spiritual discipline. It comes through having that intimacy with God. It gives us revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is seen through the eyes of God. How do you get revelation for your future? You begin to see through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of your comadre or your compadre. And my last name is Flores. I know I look white, but I got a little Mexican in me, okay? You no longer see through the eyes of your hurt, through the eyes of your insecurity, through the eyes of your fear. But you begin to see everything the way God had intended it to be. You begin to see that, God, I know that this person wronged me and they stabbed me in the back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but now I see through the revelation, God, now I see through having spent time with you and having intimacy with you that though the enemy meant that for harm, you meant it for the good and for the saving of many lives, and I'm going to share that with other people so that they can find their healing and find their breakthrough also. But you'll never see it unless you grow your spiritual discipline, until you grow that intimacy with God. The next level, the new thing, you can't step into it with the same level of discipline you had yesterday, last month, last year. It's got to be a new level. It's got to be a stronger discipline, accountability, asking somebody, your friend, your spouse, your children, hey, this is what I'm going to discipline myself to do this year. Feel free to ask me whenever you want to make sure that I'm staying on top of it. It's accountability. It's what helps us grow, and it's what helps build the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Come on. We're going to new levels, and we're seeing new things. Point number three, if we are going to go to new levels and we're going to see new things, we must dream bigger. We must dream bigger. I mentioned how we can put a box around God. And what we think is, oh, we're putting a box around God. But the truth is there can never be a box around God. God is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is omniscient. He is all things at all times in all places. What we actually do is we place a box around our thinking. We place a box around our spirit. We place a box around our heart. We place a box around our mind, and it inhibits us from dreaming. It inhibits us from being innovative, from being creative, from being able to believe for things that we have yet seen, nor can we imagine. Isaiah 43:15. Before Isaiah's prophecy gets to the point of, behold, I am doing a new thing, he reminds his people. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel. The Creator of Israel. As I mentioned earlier, God does not want to recreate something that happened a long time ago and just recreate it now in 2018. If we're going to see a new level, if we're going to go into a new thing, we have to have that childlike faith. What do we see when our eyes are closed? What is it that you see when your eyes are closed, when you're laying down to go to sleep, when you close your eyes to pray? Do you see reruns of your past? Do you see reruns of your hurt? Or do you have the ability to say, God, I see myself, even though it hasn't happened, God, I see myself in financial breakthrough. I see my marriage restored. I see my children serving God. I see myself out of debt. I see my family and my friends in the house of God. I see our family hosting a Connect group. I see myself in old age sharing with my grandkids the incredible things that God has done in my life and the incredible things that God wants to do in their lives. You see, we have to believe God for the impossible. We have to believe that God desires for our family to be saved. We have to believe that God desires for our friends to be saved. We have to desire that God wants to fulfill his will and his purpose in our lives. Because once we stop dreaming for our future, we settle in familiarity. We have to begin to proclaim over ourselves that we will be blessed. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We will live to see old age and our inheritance. We will live to see our children go farther than we ever did. We have to begin to declare over ourselves daily that we will not settle for familiarity. We will never see God do the impossible if we're not willing to ask. We will never see God do the impossible if we're not willing to ask. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask, think, or imagine. God doesn't want to just do what you think he's capable of doing. God wants to do in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in your children, in your finances, in your walk with him, exceedingly above and beyond all that you can ask, think, or imagine. That even when you pray at God and you pray audacious prayers and you pray for the impossible, God's like, I like that prayer, but the plans that I have for you are so much greater than that. They're so much more vast than that. You're going to go so much further than that. Your family is going to have so much more love than just what you're desiring for. You see, you're just desiring to have a conversation with your children. I'm desiring for you to be restored, and your children and your grandchildren, they're going to be spending holidays with you. That your finances, they're not just going to be manageable, but it's going to be completely debt-free. That your walk with God, you're no longer going to be hindered by those hurts from your past. You're no longer going to settle with just coming to church, but you're actually going to start living in freedom. If somebody receives that, say amen tonight. If we're going to see God take us to new levels and do new things in our lives, we have to level up. It absolutely cannot look the same. It can't feel the same. It can't be the same. Go ahead and stand to your feet with me tonight. we're going to go to a new level, we're going to see the new thing. We can't believe it for tomorrow. We can't believe it for next week. We can't believe it for next month. We can't believe it for next year. We got to believe for it now. We got to say, God, familiarity, I'm leaving it behind. I'm no longer going to settle for comfort, but God, I'm going to spiritually discipline myself to hear your voice clearly, to be 100% completely healed. Did you break it, bro?
I'm sorry.
Just kidding. As cliche as it might sound, we have to believe that the time is now. As I mentioned to you at the beginning, the first conversation that I had with Pastor Josiah 7-8 years ago. Have you ever asked yourself, God, I want to do something great? This is that time. This is that opportunity. This is that moment where we say, God, we leave all comfort. We leave the safety nets. We're throwing the pacifier out the building. God, come and help us dream bigger. Help us go into that next level and receive that new thing. Worship team is going to sing this song. I just want you to take the next 30 seconds. Close your eyes and dream like you've never dreamt before. Don't let the memories race around in your mind, but begin to declare, God, I will see my son saved. I will see my marriage restored. I will see my husband serving in the house of God. I will see my children serving in the house of God. I will see my finances 100% debt-free. I will see, Father, the great things that you have for me. I will see old age, Lord, Father God. I will not settle for what I've already seen. I will not settle for my current situation. But God, I receive the next level and I receive the new thing. Take 30 seconds. 30 seconds and dream, church. Dream, church. See that next level. See that new thing. See God move in your life.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you are encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.